Hebrews chapter 2 this morning. I prayed about what to do, and God sort of laid this on my heart. Hebrews chapter 2, I'll let you remain seated there, please, starting at verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, Heavenly Father, I'm thankful to be here, Father, for the NCOBF and the Buckeye Fellowship as well. I thank you for each one that's here. Lord, I want to be used of you this morning as a tool to be a blessing and encouragement to every soul that's here. I pray you'd help me now, as only you can do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Many times you'll see verse number 3 there, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, on a gospel track, and that's certainly true. But that is not the context of this verse. It was written by, I believe, Paul. If Hebrews wasn't written by Paul, it had to be written by John L. Rice. But anyway, it is written by a Christian to the Christians. How shall we the saved, escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And isn't our salvation great? When I first got saved, I had some family members say, well, that's real nice, but you'll get over that someday. Amen? And I'm thankful that I've never got over it. It just gets better and better and sweeter as the years roll by. I didn't mind so much when my hair started turning gray, but it's just bothered me tremendously that it keeps creeping up this way where I keep losing my hair. Amen? And I'll tell you, I'd be the ugliest thing you ever seen if I didn't know hair. I've had so many operations. I got so many stitches up there. It looked like a big zipper up there is what it would look like. But we all age, but salvation just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. It really does. Now, I want to talk to you about this morning some things we are to keep. Verse 1 says we want to be careful we don't let the things we heard slip. Verse 3 says we want to be careful that we don't neglect so great a salvation. Now, it's really interesting. I told my wife, I leaned over to her when Brother Lance was up here getting ready to introduce me, and was talking about the ladies' restroom, you know. My wife's already been down there, and I'm thinking, I wonder which one she went to, amen? But I told my wife, man, this message, it's confirmed to me it's of God. It's really of God. So I want to talk to you about some things that we are to keep. You know, as we travel sometimes, we have to go to the bathroom. Amen? And we pull into a filling station, and about all the time they have the doors locked. So you go inside and say, could I have the key to the men's room? And they'll reach underneath the counter, just like I just reached underneath the pulpit, and they'll come up with a key. Amen? Right? They'll come up with a key with a chain. And usually on that chain, they have something like that. Amen? And now the whole idea of that is so we won't, oh, come on, you're smarter than that. Won't lose the key. Amen? And it would be pretty obvious if you took that to the car with you, wouldn't it? Amen? The whole idea is, here's the key. It's mine. I'm loaning it to you, but I want it back. And sometimes we'll have bolts on there. You know, pieces of angle iron. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I've seen some that weigh 20 pounds, you know. But we as Christians have been given some things that we are to keep. Now, this would really be a good outline, I think, to preach to the church. But I want to say this to the men of God here today and the ladies as well. You and I will never be good Christian workers until we're first good Christians. Amen? I can never be successful as a pastor, as an assistant pastor, as a missionary, as an evangelist, as a school principal, as a full-time Christian worker. I could never be successful in that until I'm first successful as a Christian. Now, we as independent Baptists are really good at talking about the things that God does for us. Amen? And we tell our church members all these things that God does for us, and so many things you don't have to do, and so forth and so on. But sometimes I'm not sure if we get a balance to that and teach our people there's some things that we are required to keep as Christians. And by keeping these things, it will enable us to be successful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I got a little outline here, and if you'd like to write this down, you're welcome to. If not, that's all right. You can have mine when I'm done. Amen? Okay. Number one, things to keep. We are to keep ourselves in love with God. You and I are asked and told and commanded by the Word of God to keep ourselves in love with God. Go with me to Jude, verse number 21. Jude, verse number 21. Jude, verse 21 says, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. Now, whose responsibility is it for me to keep myself in love with God? It's mine. Keep yourself in love with God. And don't we teach our young people that love is a choice? Don't we teach our young people that you just don't fall in love? It's a choice you make and a choice you decide. And you know, keeping ourselves in love with God is not a lot different than our marriage relationship to those of you that are married here. My wife and I love each other. We've been married years now. And it's going to be 39 years come April next year. She tells me I'm wrong. I know it's not 40, so I'm close, amen? I'm close. Now, the only way we've been able to keep a relationship like we have is through a little thing called communication. Now, fellas, I confess this real quick. When it comes to serving God and working in the ministry, I love it. I love the ministry. I love serving God. But I can get working so hard in the ministry that I can leave God out. I know the right things and how to do it, and I can get so doggone busy working that I neglect the communication and the relationship that I need to have with my God. And you know, I know all of you have been there that serve God, especially if you really wanted to do something for God, accomplish something. I mean, we go to sleep thinking about it, we wake up thinking about it, and we think about it, we work hard all day to do what we believe is God's will for our life, but we have to make sure of our communications. We have to daily communicate with our God in order to keep that right love relationship. Now, you know, God has allowed some things happen to me that I've not been very happy about. You know what I mean? Fact is, He's allowed some things to happen to me. If I had my choice, I would have told Him, just never mind, I'll pass on that. Amen? But you know, I've learned that God would never allow something to come upon you that He wouldn't trust you to honor Him all the way through it. That's right. Brother Wiltite's back there. Bless his heart. We've been friends for years. His brother was my Sunday school teacher right after I got saved. Bunches of years ago now. Amen. And we all know that Parkinson's disease has come upon Brother Wiltite. And as years goes by, it becomes harder and harder for him to do the things he loves to do. But you know, God would not allow that to happen to Brother Wiltite unless God trusted him to honor God all the way through it. You see, we got to have a right, loving relationship with God to be successful in the ministry. If we don't have that tuned in, everyday, loving relationship with God, it'll show up in how we talk to our people and how we treat our people. It really will. And I tell you, if you really love God, you can put up with old Susie calling you three times a day. Amen? If you love God. If you really love God and have a right relationship with Him, you could put up with old long tongue over there that every chance he gets, he tries to make you look bad. Amen? And if you love God right, you can love those that are even unloving. Am I right? There are some things we need to keep. And just as much as that clerk at the filling station wants that back, there's some things God wants us to keep and not to lose. Look over, you're real close there, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We ought to love God above everything else because He loved us and gave us the opportunity through His Son Christ Jesus to be saved and born again. That's what ought to motivate us to serve God. A love for what He did for us, as undeserving as we are. And then to have the honor to have His call upon our lives and to full-time Christian service ought to come next. You know, there's a lot of broken ministries, broken men, disastrous dead ends in the ministry. And I want to assure you, if you could trace it all the way back, right here is where it started. That right love relationship with God. Amen? I got to move along here. I'm on a time schedule. Number two, we are to keep, first of all, number one, yourselves in love with God. Number two, we are to keep the Word of God. Now, if anybody knows the Word of God, it ought to be the man of God in the church. Do you know, the Pharisees took the Word of God and they added their own rules and laws to it and laid it on the Jews. And it was such a heavy burden, the Jews couldn't even keep it. But at the same time, the Pharisees then would make a clause that allowed them to get out of the rule. Amen? Now, we men of God can't be that way. We have to be an example of a Christian first keeping the Word of God. Okay? Now, I know you know that. I'm not going to tell you nothing to do. I'm like you. I mean, I know all these things. I just need somebody with human lips to get up and tell me these things sometimes. Amen? To help me. Go over with me to James chapter 1. And most of you will know the verses before we even get to them. James chapter number 1. Look at verse number 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own hearts. Well, a doer of the word is a person who keeps the word of God. I want to do what the word of God says. I'm not going to do what the word of God says not to do. And that's the right attitude, amen? Sometimes we get them sort of mixed up, don't we? We're not careful. We get them kind of mixed up. Look at verse number 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man holding his natural face in a glass. Beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and groweth his way. Straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. So we'll look empty, hollow, and vain if we're not found to be keepers of the Word of God. One of the hardest things for me to do was preach on the subjects that I have the weakest area in. I think twice in my ministry I preached on gluttony. And I made sure I got off food as fast as I could and got on something else, amen? But I hate that word. I've almost marked it down in my Bibles, but not quite, amen? But I'm simply saying there are some things that may be a little hard for you to preach because that's your weak area. And you know what I found to do? Get that thing right in my life, then preach on it, amen? Get that thing right in my life and then preach on. A doer is a keeper of the word. Go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 14, fellas. The Gospel of John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter number 14. Look with me at verse number 15. Gospel of John chapter 14, verse number 15. If you love me, what's the next word? My commandments. You know, a lot of Christians think the test of love is how tolerant you are to other people. Or how tolerant you are to the Methodists or the Presbyterians, you know. Oh, brother, we're all going the same broad road. We're all going down the same place. Well, they are. We're not. Amen. But the test of love for a Christian is to keep the Word of God. That's why I put love first. If we get that love relationship right, and we daily confess and communicate our love to our Heavenly Father, allow Him to speak to us through the Word of God, we'll have a right foundation for all these other things to fall right in place. If you love me, keep my commandments. Woo! That's powerful, isn't it? I've heard people say, boy, they must really love God. You know how much they gave last year? Well, that's got nothing to do with love, amen? Has everything to do with obedience. Look with me in John chapter 14 again, verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Now look at verse number 22. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He, verse 24, that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Boy, there's some powerful words there. And see how keeping the word of God is tied right in staying in love with God. It's a marvelous thing, isn't it? If we are going to be the right example to our people out of the pulpit as well, we have to have a right loving relationship with God, and we have to keep the word of God. We've got to obey the word of God. And fellas, you know as well as I do that we should set the best example of those two things in our church. We ought to set the very, very best example of that. All right, you ready for number three? Oh, this is a tough one. I have trouble with this sometimes. Of course, I know none of you do. It's probably just me. But number three, we're to keep. It's our responsibility to keep the unity of the Spirit. You ever get yourself in a mess? Everybody's looking down. Nobody's looking up when I said that. Amen. You ever get yourself in a mess? You know, I've been teaching adult Sunday school the last 2 weeks on prayer. And I had a little list of what their prayer life is like. Is it emergency 911? Is it the spiritual room service? Amen. Is it act first, pray later? You ever been there? Or pray first, then act? Amen. And I like to be the last one, but I got to admit, I'm not always that way. Amen. And we can mess ourselves up. We can mess our churches up. Sometimes just by not allowing God to lead us, and we make some kind of stupid decision. Amen? You know, it's interesting that God chose Moses to lead him, lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. But he hit dead ends and dry holes following God. And I think sometimes that happens in the ministry. God will lead us to a place where we just absolutely have to depend on him. Nothing else will work out. Amen? And sometimes even when we put ourselves in the pickle, God will show his grace and his love to us by getting us out of that mess. Amen? But we are challenged to keep the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, please. Go there with me. Ephesians chapter 4. First three verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know, if we have these 6 points in mind that I'm giving you here this morning, we will walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. Amen? We will walk worthy. All right? Now, verse number 2, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Every member of your church has a responsibility to work at this. All Christians are to work at keeping unity. Now, we don't give up doctrine to keep unity. We don't give up standards and strong convictions to keep unity. Once you start giving up and start retreating, then you just keep it up till there's nothing left. Amen? That's certainly true. But we need to work hard at this matter of keeping unity. Ephesians chapter 4, yet look down at verse number 30 with me, please. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I've actually been with pastors and hear them just absolutely malign their people. I mean, talk real bad about them. And no matter how bad they are, we still gotta love them, amen? And that kind of attitude and that kind of talk, many times, that stuff gets around. The devil has the right people to hear the right thing. I'm telling you, you'll not get around that, and that'll get back. It really will. Listen, you know, God knows more about how they are than we do, amen? And we know what we need to do as a men of God. And we just need to just keep working hard at the unity of the Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you of all malice. Now I love verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Doesn't say to some of them. It says one to another, doesn't it? Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I have that verse up here, memorized it, because I need that sometimes. Well, I'll tell you, I've got a lady that calls me on the phone. If I would answer it, praise the Lord, I have caller ID. I talk to her once a day. But she'll call me sometimes four times a day. She'll leave a message at the radio station. She'll leave a message in my office, and she'll leave a message on our phone at home as well. And I'm going to kill that guy that gave her my home phone number. Amen. But anyway, that was Cheeto Sharp, by the way. She's a sweet lady, don't get me wrong, but she just bugged you to death. And it's always over nothing. Then I have that verse in my head, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I answer her phone call once a day. Okay, once a day. All right, number four. We are to keep the body under control. And I'm not going to have time to really develop everything. I'm going to wind up giving you some scriptures. I don't want to run over and start the meeting in reverse here. But look with me at 1 Corinthians 9:27. Go there, please. We're to keep our bodies, fellas, under control. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul said this, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Two biggest dangers men of God face, excuse me, ladies, is women. I didn't say ladies, I said women, and money. Now write these verses down. 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 20, I'm using for the dangers with women. And under money, write down Luke 12:15. 1 Timothy 5:22, Paul told Timothy to keep himself pure. Amen? And listen, I know you fellas know this stuff, but we need to take our love relationship with our God and the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to our hearts. And then with our minds, take that Word of God and discipline our body. My body needs to be last on the list. I'll be honest with you, just as well as you would be honest, I'm sure too. My body wants to do some things sometimes that's awful. And my mind gets an argument with my body, amen? And if I don't bathe myself in the love of God and the Word of God, if I don't bathe myself in that, my body can win out. The strongest muscle I have in my body is the gristles or taste buds on my tongue. Amen. Some of you are probably the same way. Amen. But seriously, we have to keep our body under subjection. I can't allow myself to do the things that I want to do sometimes because God says not to do them. And see, it all goes back to that right, loving relationship. James 1:27 says we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And oh, how the devil has a heyday when a preacher gets himself messed up some way or another, whether it's stealing money or whether it's with a woman, and the whole town knows about it, everybody's talking about it, the church gets Ichabod wrote over it, and it's years and years before a church can come out of that, my friends. Let alone the devastation that falls upon the members of that church that trusted the man of God behind that pulpit. I can tell you stories just as well as you could tell me stories, but We're not here to dwell on the negative. We're here to talk about the positive, having a right relationship with God, to keep the things, I probably ought to turn that over, but now, to keep the things that God wants us to keep. Amen? Amen. Now, 1 John 5:21 teaches us we're to keep ourselves from idols. Well, I don't have any idols in my house. I don't have any statues I bow down to. Well, I like cars. I got me a Mercury Grand Marquis leather interior. I tell you, I wanted a nice car. I've never had a real nice car like that. And one of my deacons used to be in New London, sells cars down at Graham Auto Mall. I bought two from him now. Man, a whooping deal he gives me two. We went down there and told my wife I want a big car. Now, I bought her a little car down there. She has a little Mercury Zephyr she runs around in, works part-time at the bank. But I want a car that when I get someplace, I'm not all beat up. You know what I mean? We went down there, and we found this Mercury Grand Marquis leather interior, sunroof, red. I've always wanted a red car. My wife says, I don't like it. I don't want a big car. I said, honey, you're not going to drive this. I am. Amen. You know? And first thing she noticed, she didn't have to scoot in. She just hopped in and slid right across the seat in that leather. Amen. I didn't go two blocks in that car. She looked over and said, honey, I really like this car. Amen. But you know, it's real easy to let things become so important to us, fellas, that not knowing, but they can become an idol to us. Amen. You know? And even a hobby could become an idol. We don't always realize it's happening. But if we have a right love relationship with God, we will realize that, and God will be able to help us through the Holy Spirit of God to warn off those things, and as Barney Fife would say, to nip it in the bud. Amen? To nip it in the bud. So we need to keep our body under control. All right, what else are we to keep? Well, number five, we're to keep looking for Him, for He is coming. You know, if I have that right love relationship, if I'm keeping the Word of God, if I'm keeping my body under subjection, I'm going to be anxious to see Him come again. And what better verse would work for that than Titus 2:13? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to keep ourselves looking for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. And if our relationship is right with Him, we'll certainly be looking forward to that. Well, those are the five things that if we want to be successful first as Christians, in order to be successful as men of God, and how God has placed us in the church, then these five things we must keep, and then we will be successful. Now, I want to end this by saying there are some things, I praise God, we don't have to keep. I don't think all of you heard me. I praise God, there's some things we don't have to keep. Amen. Amen? Go with me, please, to my favorite verse that deals with salvation. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 3, and I know you all know this, but we need to remind each other. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now here it comes. Who are? What's the next word? Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal the last time. But fellas, I couldn't even get myself in a position to get good enough to get saved. And once God saved this wicked old sinner, I've never been in a good enough position to keep myself saved. And I'm glad it's all of Him. Because if I could keep myself saved, knowing me, when I got to heaven, I'd brag to everybody about it. Amen. But there'll be no bragging in heaven except on Jesus. Amen. Up to Him be all the glory, the power, and the dominion. Go with me to John chapter 10. I'm just about done. John chapter number 10. I praise the Lord, there's some things we do not have to keep. John chapter number 10. Familiar verses again to you. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, the moment we trusted Christ our Savior, He got us in His hand. And I'm telling you, He's not clumsy. He don't drop us. And the Bible says that we're in God's hand as well. And Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Listen, we are safe. Our salvation is safe in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. While I'm busy keeping myself in love with God, while I'm busy keeping myself, the Word of God, keeping the Word of God, while I'm busy keeping my body under subjection, friends, listen, God is keeping me saved. For I'm persuaded that He is able, right? I'm persuaded He is able to complete that what? That what He first started in me. Amen? Now, go to Jude again. Let's go to 24 this time, verse 24. Honestly, I'm just about done. Jude 24. Now to Him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. One verse there, I want to look at verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 17. Gospel of John chapter 17. This will be my last verse. And we'll kind of sum this up a little bit. John chapter number 17. And let's look together here at verse number 15. We find the Lord Jesus Christ here across the Brook Kidron. And this is His high priestly prayer, sometimes we call it. But He's praying for the disciples, praying for those that believe on after Him. And we see John chapter 17, verse number 15. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Do you realize, as God keeps us saved, how many things that would befall us that God keeps us from? It would scare us to death sometimes, maybe, to know the traps the devil's trying to set for us. There are some things we don't have to keep. Because I don't have to keep myself saved, because I don't have to worry about things happening to me that comes from the outside that's not God's will. I don't have to worry about that, because God will never allow anything, as I said, to come upon us unless He trusts us to honor Him through it. And while God is doing that, then I can do my part to keep the things that I am challenged to keep from the Word of God. And men, you may not pastor, you may never pastor a large church, but you don't have to pastor a large church to be successful. Large should not even be the sign of success. But success for you and I begins when we keep the things of God that we're challenged to keep. And we keep a right, loving relationship with Him. Someday, when we see Him, He'll say to us, regardless of what He's called and led us to do, hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity for this challenge this morning. And Lord, I've not shared a thing with these men they don't already know, but I know they're like me. They need to hear it occasionally. Lord, these are simple things, but they're powerful things. And I pray in some way this could be a help to these men today. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.